Thanks for tuning in to the Charles Novell School of Music podcast, The Best Day Yet. Here you'll find tips, insight, and information to help your music and your ministry succeed. Whether you're a singer, a musician, or a songwriter, we want to help you where you are, but we also want to help you get to where you want to go. We believe that our talents are God's gift to us, but what we do with those are our gift back to God. Yesterday's information is important, but what we can learn today will make this the best day yet.
Hi, this is Jonathan Wilburn inviting you to the Charles Novell School of Music, July the 14th through the 20th at Murray State University in Murray, Kentucky. You don't want to miss this opportunity to enhance your craft and to sing the praises of Jesus Christ. You will enjoy this. So log on to cnsmusic.com and get more information about how you can get registered today.
Hey everybody, Rob Novell. We're back for another week, another episode of the Charles Novell School of Music podcast, The Best Day Yet. Excited about today's episode. This is taken from a recent CNS staff retreat that we had a couple weeks back in Gatlinburg, and we were sitting around just kind of conversing and talking about some things, and we decided to capture that and turn it into some upcoming episodes. We talked several different topics. So today we are talking on a subject that is important for us to understand. It's easily done incorrectly. And I think what we need to do, the Bible talks over and over about us avoiding becoming stumbling blocks. And I think when we do things the incorrect way, it could long-term have effects on our ministry. So what we are talking today is how to ask for support. So the unique thing about today's talk, within the room we have artists, we have social media experts, we have pastors. So within this conversation, we're getting a lot of different angles on this subject. So again, this was taken from our staff retreat. We were in a upstairs meeting room in a lodge that we had rented. We had a fire going in the fireplace. You can actually hear it cracking and popping in the background. So come on in and be part of our CNS 24 staff retreat.
We are just, we're here at our CNS 24 staff retreat. We're just hanging out, visiting, spending time together. We've been here a while now. How long have we been here? A while now.
Too long. We found Jesus on a hike.
Devin. So we're just kind of chatting, and we were discussing this earlier today, and we decided we would revisit that. We are, again, we're at our staff retreat, and we're just letting you all in on, you guys now are officially part. If you're listening to this, you're part of our CNS staff retreat, all right? So we were talking earlier, Devin, you actually brought this up. So what is it that you were concerned about something earlier, and when you're concerned, we're concerned?
Yes.
Well, it's supportive, I guess. Supportive of me, so that's the topic of our episode, is how to ask for support.
How to ask for support.
Yeah. All right. We're here to support you, Devin.
We are, Devin.
This is actually an intervention. I'm picking up on that.
The real reason we're all here, Devin.
They locked the doors.
Why do you think we're in that chair right there?
In the middle of the room, the doors are locked.
We're surrounded.
They all have notebooks.
Jen, Corey, if you can reach out and hold him down, please. We were talking, Devin brought it up because he is our resident social media guy. We also, until about 20 minutes ago, claimed him as our tech guy. But seeing that he was unable to successfully connect to the TV, and it was Jim, he has been demoted to just the social media guy. But no, we were talking about different things that we see, do's and don'ts of how to utilize social media. It's It's 2024. First question. How vital is social media to our ministries today?
Incredibly vital. I was actually talking with some of you guys earlier today that I don't think it's a coincidence that one of the biggest parts of our missions as a Christian is reach, how many people we can reach for the Lord. And I don't think it's any coincidence that the biggest measurement of success on social media is reach. So our mission and social media go hand in hand, and if we can utilize that the right way, it just takes our reach to a whole new level.
Okay. So, on the other side of that coin, how much harm could social media do to our ministries?
Enough to probably end your ministry if it goes that severe, if you're not posting the right content, or you're not asking for things the right way, or you're just posting the wrong thing. Again, it can make you or break you.
Okay, so let's jump back in the middle of those two extremes for a second here. So what we specifically we're talking about is, and I think each one of us that chimed in the room have seen one or more than one post that, so it was Scott Gotze 3 or 4 years ago that came and spoke at CNS, and he said something that really stuck with me. People see us before they hear us. Now, he was referring to, you walk in the church lobby, there's your product table, right? Different topic, different podcast, different day. However, I think we can also relate that to when you are scrolling social media and someone posts a picture and they put a caption above the picture, the first thing you see is what?
This is the photo that's attached to it or the graphic.
So you see them, and then when you read their comment and you hear their heart, mm-hmm. or potentially at times lack of heart,
yeah.
You hear them secondarily. So that still applies
yeah.
with social media, maybe even more so. Because here's a question for you. Do you know numbers? And if not, just guesstimate. What's the breakdown between social media being visual versus which is more important, the photo or the text?
It depends on the platform you're using, but in general, I would say the photo is pretty important because photos tend to take up the most screen real estate, and if we're all using our phones most of the time, that's the biggest thing you're going to see. If you're on Instagram, it's super important because that's what Instagram is right. photos. Facebook is a combination of both, but it's primarily photos and videos. So it depends on the platform, but it's always important to make sure the content or the photos you're posting or the videos look good, are good, all that stuff.
Okay. So we then kind of segued into some different things that we'd seen, and we kind of landed on seeing quite a bit of people utilizing social media to ask for support mm-hmm. of their ministry. Mm-hmm. Okay. And there's multiple ways that you can do that. Mm-hmm. You can use social media to ask people to pray for your ministry. That's supporting your ministry. You can ask for people to download your new project you just released. That is asking for support. But I think what I've seen a lot of, and I know I mentioned it, so I'll put myself out here first and foremost, we're seeing a lot of people asking for monetary support.
Yes.
A lot of GoFundMe campaigns. So let's circle down on that for a second. How can we most go where you want to go, and then y'all, we're here, so anybody chime in.
Yeah.
But how can we effectively do that, and how can we ineffectively do that?
I guess to start, I would say that anytime you're asking for monetary support, no matter if it's on social media, your friends, family, anything, is extremely difficult. But especially when you're have to rely on that monetary support, if you don't ask about it the right way or you don't speak about it the right way, that can be detrimental to what you're trying to do. Often I find that when people are speaking about needing monetary support, if they post it on Facebook, they are doing that often. Asking for that kind of support is something that you have to be strategic in asking about. If you're asking for monetary support too much, people get, they don't like that. That they're just going to start ignoring your stuff, or they're just not going to want to support you. And if you're not asking for monetary support for the right things, people can see through that. If you're asking for a bus and you're only singing 12 times a year, you need funds to buy a bus, you're singing once a month, people are going to see that and you just shot yourself in the foot. And I think as artists, everybody has run into that at some point, is asking for the wrong things, or you're asking for support and then some of your fans follow your personal social media and they see that you're going to Disney World, Universal Studios, when you just asked for support for your ministry because you can't afford it, or as an artist. So you can't contradict yourself. You have to be careful in what you're asking for. But I mean, that's the biggest thing, is if you're going to ask for support, you have to make sure you need the support.
So let's go old school with this for a minute. So Tim, we're coming to you.
What a great segue. That's awesome. Feel so loved.
That smooth gear change right there, huh? That was Billy. Scared me. So here's the parallel. How much would you stand up in front of the congregation you're singing in front of and ask them to support you monetarily?
I personally would have a hard time doing that.
Right.
If there is a need, a genuine need, folks want to know.
Right.
But like you said, it's difficult if you can't show the need. You've got folks that, I mean, Southern Gospel fans are some of those generous fans, you know, friends that are out there. And so if you have a legitimate need, they want to know and they want to help. But they do see through a lot of when it's not a legitimate need, when it's just a want or an ask, or you just want something bigger and better.
I think, and it's part of the head scratcher for me with social media, is I read things all the time. I'm like, do they not realize that's out there for everybody to see? So I think where I'm trying to connect the dots there is, why would there be things that we wouldn't do publicly in person, standing on a platform, that we feel less cautious about, or we feel is okay to do on a platform of social media?
I think it's more vulnerable, when you have to be more careful to ask about it on social media, because you have the potential for countless people to see that. Whereas if you're asking for anything, money or any kind of support at a church or a venue you're singing at, you're asking it to the set amount of people that are there. So it's not as vulnerable, or I don't know if risky would be the word, but
well, the majority of them, like Marianne, are going to forget what you said in person. But when it's in print and it's there for them to come, are you okay, Marianne?
I was till you started talking.
When it's in print and they can scroll back tomorrow and, yes, and keep revisiting, yeah, it.
But you also made a really big thing there. If it's on your group page, and then they scroll over to your personal page and they see something that they feel, they perceive as contradictory. You're going to Disney World, you've got your brand new Escalade in the picture behind you and things like that. That can hurt you to the extreme, because people don't think that you're being honest and forthright with it.
Yeah, absolutely. It can have, you know, kind of a dual identity feel to
it. Yeah, and it's not wrong or not okay to ask for the support. It's just how you're doing it, and making sure that you're honest about what you're asking for and how you're asking for it.
Absolutely. I'm not saying if you have a need and you've sought the Lord and you feel like He's telling you to go public with this need. I use the example of, I've seen you know, a lot of travel goes into what we do. And unfortunately, we all have known someone in our circles that's had an accident. Mm-hmm. And from either medical bills or replacing a trailer and equipment that may have been damaged in an accident, you know, I tend to maybe be a little more sympathetic mm-hmm. for stuff like that. But I mentioned this earlier. I literally saw a post, and their wording was they had a GoFundMe to purchase a new ministry trailer to carry their equipment in. They even said they didn't necessarily need a new one, but a new model of theirs had come out, and they liked it a lot better. Mm-hmm. That makes zero sense
to
me.
That's a shot to the foot right there.
It makes zero sense to me. And what I don't want to do, and you and I, we've done podcasts on social media, and we've talked about this. I think when I asked you the question, can social media help you? Absolutely can. Can it hurt your ministry? Absolutely it can. It may only take one of those posts for people to click unfollow, and you're literally trying to drum up support, you lose support.
Yeah, and not only that, but you have your digital footprint lasts forever. Any way you want to think about it, you make that post and somebody doesn't like it, and they're a gossip, and they screenshot that and they're sending it to somebody else. Doesn't matter if you take it down, delete it, or reword what you said. Somebody has the post that was taken out of context, or you know, whatever the first one, and that's gonna go too.
So, Pastor John, from a spiritual angle and a biblical angle. The Bible, I used to know the number, but, you know, I'm getting older and forgetful. I used to know avoid being stumbling block is mentioned several times in the Bible. So if we're being instructed that way through God's word, some of this negative use or incorrect use or risky use of social media for our ministries, can I connect the dots that can be a stumbling block?
Sure. Timing is everything in the way we present those things. Again, there's nothing wrong with having a need and making that request known. When somebody has asked you, hey, what does your ministry need? Obviously, you make that public. Let me give you an example. There was a ministry who, back there was a lot of fires and things that had gone on in an area of our country. And so they decided that they would get on social media and ask for people to send money in that they would disperse to make payments for people without homes and foods and all of that. But on their personal social media, the very next week, they were promoting all of these things that they had bought and that they were making trips to Disney. And it was a lot of things like that. So question arose, did you take the money that we sent in for that and now you're using it for your own personal gain? So timing is everything on how you present what those needs are. I think you have to be very transparent about what your purpose is, why your purpose is, and then let those people deal with it. I think all too often we hound people for money so much that, like you said, Devin, they see through it and they go, "I'm out. I don't want that." So can that be a detriment? Yeah. What's the number one funny excuse that people give? Oh, the reason I don't go to church is because they always ask for money. Well, so traveling ministries are notorious for that too. So we have to turn that around and let them know that we're not out here begging for money for every little thing that we do, but it does cost something for what we do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Sometimes I don't think people get that big picture, and I'm all over, but I can't think of it. The the vine, the one bad.
One bad apple.
Okay, there we go. We'll just go with that. The one bad apple, is that?
It doesn't spoil the whole bunch.
Yeah, is that in the...
It's in a song from the 70s.
But okay. I was trying to think what book of the Bible, Produce 101, First Fruits 102. No, one post like that could damage other ministries. Mm-hmm. And that's the stumbling block thing that I was kind of referring to a while ago.
May I add to what you just said?
Absolutely.
You have to be careful in social media about what you repost, because sometimes what you see on your friend's page, when you repost it, it shows where it came from. Mm-hmm. And some of the words are not great. And so your people that are watching your ministry, they see the origin of the post, not the funny that you saw. And that can hurt your ministry real fast.
Or the comments underneath of that post that you share.
Right.
So, you know, my dad taught me the carpenter's rule. You measure twice, cut once. And I'm very, very, very careful of sharing things if I don't know the source. Even if you know the person, if you're resharing something they share. And I think sometimes that comes down to people can be green and maybe ignorant to just not knowing how the whole thing works. People get excited. They're scrolling. Oh, I like that. And they support it. Well, yeah, if you support that visually, that can look like you support that. You know, so I know I'm careful there. Jim, any thoughts on the social media side of things?
Well, I'm kind of old school of using it. And so I've tried to be the more, I guess, positive out of it. Is I want to present what God's doing in my life, not what Jim Shelton's doing for God. So a lot of times, as I move from when I first started on my own, I'm going to pick up, you know, and I moved to a van, but each time I spent time praying and waiting for God to fulfill that. And every time I get, I praise God for it. I didn't say, look, send me money, whatever, you know. And it seemed like each time I did that, God blessed even greater. And so, you know, Ben Payne told me one time, you know, God gave the talent, you know, and the desire, and I said, go do it with a servant's heart. Since I was starting all over again with nothing, that's all I had to hold on to. So I appreciate everything I get. So, you know, I make sure I give God the glory, everything that I post.
You just nailed it. Devin, I just think we need to be posting with a servant's heart. Mm-hmm. Period. I've known Jim Shelton and watched his ministry, the scripture, if you're faithful with the little. Mm-hmm. And he has taken care, you know, I in working with a 18 to 25 year old group in ministry several years ago, oh, Pastor Rob, I can't wait until I get my new Corvette. Well, I just got in your Gremlin, and it is trashed. Can't take care of what you got now. Mm-hmm. Well, how are you going to take care of that later? Or, man, I can't wait to live in a 4,000 square foot home. Well, you can't keep the 12 by 12 room you're living in for the next 9 months clean.
Yep.
So, you know, if we don't safeguard and take care of our social ministry pages, if we're not faithful with the little, how do we expect God to bless? Here's the other thing. Don't hate, celebrate. Man, I see a lot of people that ask for something that... I see a lot of contradiction on social media. I see people speak out about something, and then three posts later, they're asking for the same thing. Yeah. And how do we work more from that servant's heart? Jim, that was perfect. That's what it is. It's what it should be.
Well, my ministry is called Putting God First. It's a Proverbs paraphrase of Proverbs 3:6. mindsets and everything you do, put God first. He will direct, He will crown your efforts with success. And I had to later learn that success isn't about a lot of hit songs or traveling. It was getting that closer, intimate relationship that He wants to have with us.
Yeah.
Then He can do anything He wants to.
Right.
Then all my choices, hopefully, is His choice. And He's, and it's amazing how when I held back, well, do I really need this? But I want to make sure I don't have to get on the phone and tell a pastor I need this to come. I tell, hey, I got an RV. I don't need a hotel. I can come. You tell me when.
Right.
You know, and it's amazing how that opened up more doors.
So WWJD, what would Jesus do?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we need a WWJP, what would Jesus post?
Yeah.
You know? Ladies, you're quiet over there. Marianne, I know it's because it's past your bedtime, but Becky, you're a young whippersnapper.
Well, we had a pastor to tell us one time that if people don't know the need, they won't know how to help.
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, last year, you know, Steve was involved in an accident, and, you know, we did post that, but we didn't post it for monetary. We posted it for people to pray.
Right.
And through that post, God took care of a lot of needs that we had.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, that was a blessing to us to see how, you know, God used, you know, Steve actually, you know, wrote the post because he wanted people to pray for us. Because, you know, as the provider for our family, you know, he wanted, you know, our family to be taken care of. And, you know, we know that God is our provider. He's our supplier. He's Jehovah Jireh. And he did. He took care of so many needs. And we just can't thank him enough for...
And I remember that timeline. I remember the posts. It wasn't here's the link. Billy, with what she just said, the Bible talks about kindred spirits. And you've been in situations where you've been talking to someone and you can sense.
Mm-hmm.
Does that translate with this whole social media? That post right there wasn't an ask. It was a presentation. And I believe people saw your heart and their heart connected with your heart through your post. So do you see that?
Absolutely. It does connect. Rob, you know, and your listeners probably don't, but my wife and I just spent 2 months in Mexico at a school for orphan care. Her heart had really been pricked by, we actually went down to visit her sister and brother-in-law and went to their church and outside of Guadalajara, Mexico, and there's a young couple there that run this school. And it really, really caught my wife's heart. And we prayed about it. She wanted to go, and I didn't feel that this strong call in my life to go, but I did feel a strong call to go and support my wife. And so we went through 2 months of just learning the ins and outs of an orphanage and what it would take to start one, et cetera, et cetera. And we don't know where all that's going. But my point in bringing that up is I posted on Facebook about that. And a couple of the singing news articles that I've written have been about our trip.
Yeah.
And people gave because of reading that and God touching their hearts. And it reminds me of something that I heard a minister share a long time ago, that different people feel the need to support different kinds of ministries.
Yeah.
And some people will, if you say something about missions, they're just, you know, very giving, but they might not give to something else. But it might be a building project and somebody's, that touches somebody's heart. They're struck by things like that, or touched by opportunities like that. So I think whatever the need is, we don't broadcast that. I don't think we should broadcast that, hoping funds will come in, which is not the same thing as believing that if we post it, funds will come in.
Right.
There's a distinct difference there.
Absolutely.
We don't. It's like we don't give to get, but we do know that when we give, we get.
Right.
And when it comes to supporting financially or in prayer or just in partnership in any way, I think our part is to present the need. You know, Paul in Philippians, he talks about the church in Thessalonica and how they supported him. And he presented the need, and churches gave as God gave them the ability to do that. And so I think, you know, we live in obviously a very different age than what Paul lived in. With social media, we have the opportunity to use it for good. And when we do have something we feel God's called us to, what we do when we present the need for something like that is we're not just asking people to give to what we're doing. We're asking people to give to what God's doing. And giving them an opportunity to partner with us in that. And that's not manipulation. And I think that's one of the, you know, I think John mentioned a while ago that, you know, some people say, you know, church, all the church wants is our money. I think the world can look at any post or any plea, and without the Spirit of Christ, they can look at it and decide or have the opinion that people just want your money. But that's, I think for the real Christian, that's not what's going on. I think for the real Christian, people understand, Christians understand, that when a ministry need is posted or broadcast, made aware, that people are made aware of that, it gives other believers the opportunity to give and to partner in what God is doing. And there is eternal reward in that. So it's not, you know, I didn't post anything about our trip to Mexico hoping people would give. Honestly, we were able to cover that. We didn't need people's financial support, although some people gave. And even though I didn't specifically ask for that, they gave because they felt led to give. God will reward them for their obedience, just as He's rewarding us for our obedience. So I guess my takeaway from that is when we're doing what God's called us to do, and we're faithful to be obedient to the call in our lives, if that includes letting people know about that, that's all our job is. It's God's job to touch people's hearts and say, I want you to be a part of that. I want you to partner with me in what their ministry is.
You know what? We're wrapping this thing up with that right there. I mean, that, Billy, that was awesome. That was absolutely, it has to be our motive, our heart. Mm-hmm. Becky, the heart. Billy, the motive. Devin, I think it's, as Jim said, as Becky said, as Billy just said, it's that servant's heart. I think we've got to view it from that.
I agree.
Can I add one thing to that?
Absolutely.
Because I work in nonprofit world, people give to us all the time.
Okay.
I don't mean to sound like
millions.
But I mean, they do. That's how we survive. But there's one thing that my grandmother taught me years ago, before I was old enough to walk much. I feel like that sometimes when people ask for things, they never turn around and give back to the person and say thank you. The art of writing a thank you note now, or saying thank you for blessing my ministry, if you know who those people are that gave to you, they deserve recognition one-on-one, not a blanket post. You can say thank you on there.
Right.
But send those people that thought enough of your ministry. We wouldn't have survived at the Veranda had we not taken care and made the people feel like we appreciated what they had done for it. Whether it be in task or money, it doesn't matter. We're going to send those notes out and thank people, call those people, and on social media send them a private message and say, you blessed us. The art of thanking people for things, you would be surprised how that does not happen anymore. And I don't mean it in an ugly way.
No.
I agree with you. When God blesses you, like Billy said, Billy didn't accept things given to him and not say thank you for it. We have to learn to, as a Christian, that's what he expects of us, is to thank those who bless us. So I think one thing is we have to learn to be grateful and thankful. If we're going to ask for it, then we need to be thankful and do the right thing by thanking those people that thought enough of our ministry to do that.
It's good.
You said to end with that, but can I piggyback on that?
Absolutely.
This? Because I know that our audience is a lot of musicians and gospel musicians. Mm-hmm. And to your point, Marianne, I have a group called the Blackwood Brothers. It's a group my dad started and his brother started many years ago. And we tour around the country, and there is not a pastor or a promoter that has the Blackwood Brothers for a concert that I don't write them a personal thank you note.
Exactly.
To say thank you so much for having the Blackwood Brothers and affording us the opportunity to present the gospel to your people. Mm. We appreciate you.
Saying thank you also can lead others to wanting to support you too.
Exactly.
I toured with a group where they shared with every audience on our tour that the tour before, someone paid for their fuel for the bus for the next day. That was $500 a day that someone from every single concert gave them. They didn't have to pay for their fuel because it was all paid for. They didn't go up there saying, hey, we want somebody to pay for our fuel. They went up there and said, they were listing a whole bunch of things they were appreciated for, and that was just on the list. And then somebody started that chain again and was like, here's $500. We went on a 28 concert tour. 27 of those concerts somebody gave to pay for the fuel for the next day because the artist was thanking them for it, not asking for it. And that caused other people to want to give.
You mentioned the spiritual side of that. I would say this. If you call yourself a Christian and you can't be thankful to God's people, exactly, that's a good sign that you're not thankful to God.
Exactly. Mm.
All right, guys, good stuff. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Charles Novell School of Music podcast, The Best Day Yet. You can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter under the name The Charles Novell School of Music. And for more information on CNS and our upcoming events, like our online school, our weekend regional sessions, our creative coaching, and our pastor's retreat, you can visit us at our website at www.cnsmusic.com. As you've listened to this episode, we hope that you've gained some information that you can apply to your music and to your ministry to make today the best day yet.